Hello and welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I'm Elvis, your host, and this is a not safe for work podcast. We here at Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast are teachers who love their jobs and wish to remain anonymous, so we use pseudonyms. This is a special thank you for all of our patron donors who've joined up to hear some of our lost episodes on the Patreon. You can find that at Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. And also, Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday and is sponsored by Ludd Lamb Dramatics Educational Theater Posters. If you are a theater teacher or know one in your building, send them to luddlamdramatics.com. That's LuddLamDramatics.com. There are all kinds of amazing posters there, everything from how to do basic stage makeup, parts of stage, and even Elizabethan history posters. That's Ludd Lamb Dramatics. If you have a story you'd like to share with us, you can tag us on Facebook or Instagram, or go to our website, teacherneedsadrinkpodcast.com, and leave a comment there. Also, please follow, share, leave a review, and give us a 5-star rating if you can. And honestly, the best thing you can do is find one person you know and tell them about Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Let them know how great it is, and that way we can slowly grow to dominate the world. Anyway, we're all going a little bit crazy because we've been inside for a while. I hope you guys enjoy this. Check out the Patreon if you can. Now here is episode 28. Enjoy!
Yes, Turd, that is what I said.
I think I grabbed him by his armpit too hard.
You hurt your corona, compadre.
I'm sorry, Bubba. I'm sorry.
Welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and today we have a full house all to my right. I have Miss Sparkles.
Hi, I'm not really on his right. I'm in my living room.
And then across from me, I have Rosie Rose.
Also not across from you. Hello.
And then to her immediate left, I have Turd Ferguson back after long absence.
I had to take some time in the room.
And then we also have Miss Bunny O'Hare.
Coming to you live from my spare bedroom.
Well, welcome back to our corona quarantine shelter. Was it shelter in place that we're doing right now? I got the news today, and I'm sure all of you did too, that even though just a few days ago they moved our perceived shelter date from being the mid-March to like May 3rd. They moved to like April 17th. And then now moved it to May 20th, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so for all practical purposes, most of the private schools I contract with right now have said that they just assume that we will be doing online school for the rest of the year. And I assume you guys are in the same boat. So one by one, I mean, Ms. Sparkles, what are your kind of gut reaction to all of this?
Well, I figured that this was coming because my district, they're so cute. The superintendent keeps insisting, like, no, we're coming back on the day I have stated. But then he says that, and then the next day somebody comes in and is like, actually, we will not be going back. So I'm expecting sometime this weekend we'll get a notice of, hey guys, online school is happening for the rest of the semester. JK, enjoy. Yeah, Zoom prom. Oh God.
Miss Rosie, how are you feeling about this? How are you holding up?
I am currently and for the near future jobless since we are out of school from here on out.
Were you able to file for unemployment?
I was, yes.
Good, good, good. Mr. Turd Ferguson, what are your feelings about this end of the year? You are in a different situation. You're trapped at home. Your wife is a nurse and works at the hospital. So you are not teaching, or you're trying to teach with two kids in the house. How are you feeling about this shutdown?
You know, all I got to say is for the person who thought that distance learning works with a kindergarten, they're full of shit and never had children. I find it very frustrating at times because I'm trying to get my shit done and then I have to jump over and make certain that my daughter is doing her stuff. Regular email contact with my fourth grader's teacher. At one point in time, he's telling me that he's got all his work done. And then the email says, well, he's doing a lot of work, but he's just not submitting the assignment. While on top of 65 emails on an average day from different kids who apparently can't read directions. Who knew?
Miss Bunny, how are you doing with all of this?
I mean, I'm doing okay. My district, you know, as with many places, the plan keeps adapting as the situation changes, which, you know, just about the time you feel like got the ball centered, the goalpost moves again. So, you know, we're figuring it out. We're rolling with it.
So one of the experiences I had is I started my first full week of online teaching, and I'm not doing any real-time teaching. All of mine is I record video instructionals with assignment, and so I record a bunch of two-minute videos before and after each step that they're supposed to do explaining it. And I work with a lot of elementary school kids, and I've had a pretty good success rate of getting kindergartners and first graders able to do these lessons. And it's all because it's really just I have a video of myself talking, and then they record themselves doing whatever they need to do. But for my older kids, initially I had set loftier goals of what needed or what I wanted to achieve and what could be done. And while I believe it's possible, I believe under the circumstances, a lot of kids and their parents don't have the mental energy to put forth what would be a normal 30 minutes worth of like classwork.
Oh, yeah.
In a lesson where instead of being like, I'd say, okay, we'll come up with this plan, come up with 10 ideas, then we're going to take 2 ideas, or we're going to do this. And looking like, I'm going to be lucky if I get all the kids to do this. I can probably get 2 of the kids to complete the whole assignment. I need to keep modifying the lessons to the mood. I don't know. I feel the same way about my kids, though, because I have 2 kids and they're trying to do their schoolwork. I'm like, really? You want them to do 3 hours every day of this, this, and this? It's mentally exhausting. So it's really hard.
So I'm trying to keep it simple. I'm giving my kids 1 assignment a week. We've been given a very specific directive of the maximum you can do with your kids is like 150 minutes per week, which comes out to about 2.5 hours. But that's for everything. So that includes if you have a video explaining what's happening, you tutoring them or helping them through the online platform we're using, and then them actually doing the assignment and turning it in. So that's everything. I'm doing like 1 very simple assignment a week, but I'm also an elective class. So it's a little bit easier for me to be like, do this one thing.
Now, I'm thinking about adjusting. I had a play that I was supposed to do with one of my 5th grade classes, and a lot of the students are really let down because they were very, really, really looking forward to it because we don't get to do a lot of productions. So like, oh, well, maybe we can do a reader's theater and I can just have them record their pieces and then splice it together.
That's a big undertaking, I know.
Herding kittens.
The direction that we keep getting from our district is simplify, simplify, simplify. But plot twist, we're starting to take grades next week. Up to this point, it's just been review and enrichment and kind of getting the kids into the swing of the whole online learning thing. Starting next week, it starts counting for a grade. So I'm curious to see how many will actually participate and how many are just going to think that since we're not in the building, it still doesn't count. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. We are doing 1 to 2 activities a week, kind of the same guideline. We'll see how it goes.
Do any of you guys see a situation where there could be a government mandate saying the grades won't affect the students this year? Or like, say you have a senior with good grades and obviously they start bombing right now, or they check out, or who knows what the case is. Do you guys see a situation where they might just say, you know what, this year doesn't count, or it's a free pass, or like the seniors of this year might get to walk no matter what they do?
I think for seniors, yeah, because, you know, my school's on accelerated block. So we started all new classes in January. So some of the seniors only got halfway through a class before we were done with the school year. So how can you hold their graduation hostage and say, well, you didn't finish the last 9 weeks of government, so you're not going to graduate? Like that wouldn't be fair. These are kids who are already being accepted to colleges. Like they're already enlisting in the military. They're already making their plans for what's happening after graduation. We can't say, sorry, you have to stay an extra 6 weeks in the or 9 weeks in the fall. Like that to me would be really shitty.
Well, I imagine the kids that were waiting a chance to bump up their SAT scores or ACT scores or whatever stupid standardizing test so they could have a better score to get a better chance at a scholarship for school. And now who knows when they're going to take it or what their options are going to be.
I hope this will be a chance for colleges and institutions of higher learning to kind of look a little bit more holistically at what students have done, like their overall grades and their overall activities and involvement and stuff will hopefully carry more weight than the SAT scores, because A, we all know as educators, there's a lot more to it than that. But then B, like you were saying, they're not getting a chance to bring their grade up. They're not getting a chance to, you know, retake the test. So I'm hoping that this might be a chance to kind of play with looking at a little differently and maybe finding some better ways to do it.
I love Bunny's optimism. you know that I have zero faith in the government, especially at the national level. But
well, I didn't say government. I said schools.
More so at the state level, if they mandate something, they'll say something along the lines of, it's up to every district to decide for themselves. So really, if anything happens, I think it'll be at the district level deciding how they handle seniors.
I have overheard from another teacher that works in a different district from me, and they're going to be struggling to figure out what they have said now, but they may have to change later, is that the assignments that they are taking online will not actually have a grade value. Mm-hmm. To which I'm just like, okay, so what's the motivation for the student to actually do anything at all? And then after asking that question, her response was, well, those people that are not turning in assignments, we're going to assume that they just don't have internet access, and therefore we can't penalize them.
I was going to say, my district has gone out of their way to make sure that we are making contact with every kid. We had to get a list of kids that haven't logged in at all, kids that we haven't heard from, or kids that haven't replied in any way, whether it was to remind messages or emails or posting in our learning management site. And we had to send a list to the office, and they are calling with interpreters if necessary, calling every family that we haven't heard from yet to say, hey, what do you need? Do you need paper copies? Do you need a laptop? Do you need Wi-Fi access? What do you need?
So this article is about my personal Carol Baskins. This is a Betsy DeVos article.
Have a great day, everyone, except that fucking Betsy DeVos.
Dolores Umbridge in the flesh. Mm-hmm.
DeVos fed her husband to the tigers. I know it. But it's a New York Times article by Miss Erica Green, and the title is DeVos Weighs Waivers for Special Education and Parents Are Worried. The $2 trillion coronavirus law could give the education secretary the power to waive special education rules as school districts struggle to teach all their students online. Tucked away in the $2 trillion coronavirus stabilization bill is a provision that allows Education Secretary Betsy DeVos to seek congressional approval to waive parts of the federal special education law while schools combat the coronavirus pandemic. How she might use that authority scares parents like Jennifer Gretzer, who lives in Seattle. It took a 350-page complaint and hours of work for Ms. Gratzer to get the proper special education services for her 10-year-old son, a nonverbal third grader who has epilepsy and a condition called cortical visual impairment. He has made progress with services like occupational therapy, speech therapy, and one-on-one aid afforded to special needs students like him under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. But Ms. Gratzer feels that Ms. DeVos may relieve her son's school district of such obligations for the foreseeable future. No one wants to do the hard thing unless they're forced to do it. And our kids have always been the hard thing, said Ms. Gratzer. With the closure of schools across the country, parents like Ms. Gratzer have found themselves in an educational crisis like none seen since the disabilities law passed in 1975. Today, it grants nearly 7 million students individualized instruction and a vast array of educational support and services. Schools are scrambling to shift classes online as more than 55 million children stay at home. For now, that has upended special education, which is administered through meticulously devised plans called IEPs, which require extensive services. The possibility that those obligations could be waived has driven a sharp wedge between school administrators, parents, and special education teachers. Administrators, educators say without the waivers, they would be forced to meet unrealistic expectation and face costly lawsuits. The attitude we need to have is let's do everything we can as fast as we can for as many kids as we can, he said. Leanne Wetzel, the superintendent of Ridley School District in Pennsylvania, said her staff had been reviewing thousands of records, connecting with hundreds of families to find creative ways to offer one-on-one services like speech therapy through platforms like Google Hangout. But even with accessibility devices, there are some times when features will come up short for some children. We have to acknowledge the fact that we're not going to be 100% compliant and not for not trying, but we decide to do what's best for all kids. It's easy to do what they want and steamroll right over our kids, Ms. Gratzer said. My fear is that while parents like myself are trying to survive, people like Betsy DeVos will be out there pulling the rug from underneath us. Secretary DeVos has been clear from the beginning that she is committed to ensuring all students, including students with disabilities, can continue their educations during this national emergency. Civil rights organization says Ms. DeVos does not need to waive provisions to meet that commitment, and doing so could have unintended consequences.
This is one place where I'm not going to be totally against Betsy DeVos Baskin. That fucking bitch,
Carol Baskins.
Carol Baskin. You know, we talked about this a little bit last week, but there are certain SPED services that just are not conducive to the situation we're in currently. Is it fair to ding a school or be allowed to bring a lawsuit against a school or a district? You can't offer what we used to offer because we can't get in the same room as people.
The fear is that by Ms. DeVos following her past habits, which seem to be just to defund education as much as possible, right, that she is not going to just say, okay, you know what, this is a temporary reprieve. Let's do what we need to get by this year and get back to it. It's more like, okay, no, we cut it. You guys survived. See, we all did fine. Okay, you guys don't need it. Let's keep going.
Freaking Dolores Umbridge brought to life. I'm not convinced we're not being trolled somehow because she's the actual worst.
Does that make Donald Truth. Trump Voldemort?
Oh, no, he's totally fucking Voldemort.
I feel like Voldemort's way smarter, though.
This is from Reddit user Should I Clash? And the title is, My School System is Making This Way More Stressful Than It Should Be. Day one, we are here to help you. Day two, we want your schedule and your virtual meeting room locations. Day four, we want you to write down kids who aren't showing up. Day seven, we want to know exactly how you're contacting students about missing work. Day eight, we also want you to have face-to-face time with all students every day. Also, make sure they complete this mandatory daily attendance form. Also, fill out this form that explains exactly what you do in 30-minute increments. Are you kidding me right now? How about you fill one out, show me what you do besides giving me more work? Also, fill out this contact log and fill out this survey, but your name is attached, so you know. Tell us how great things are and don't be honest. And every email ends with, let us know how we can help. You want to know how you can help me? How about you STFU and let me do my job? I get the workload has been cut short in the district office since you can't go in anymore. But please, for the love of God, stop giving me more work to do because you don't have enough to do.
And bullshit.
And like I said, I feel like my district, you know, the cheese keeps getting moved, but it's because we're having to adapt to situations as they come up. You know, as we get advice from our state's education office about what can and can't be counted for grades and what the school board decides and everything else, like, I get that situations change, but it sure would be nice if people could let some of the paperwork go right now. If you have a class with 20 children in it, yes, you can contact them every day. If you have 200 students a day, it is not feasible to contact all 200 of your students every single day. So I feel like there are definitely people at the district level in a lot of situations that have experience in one world or the other, but they want to do a one-size-fits-all solution and one size does not.
Speaking to younger ages and older ages, if you have some of the younger grades like kinder, first, second, they sometimes need a parent to help them through this work at home and to explain what they're supposed to do. And so by piling on 2 hours of assignment, you're giving it to a parent who is either working from home or unemployed or something going on right now. And that's a lot to put on their plate to have to spend, like, to fight a 5-year-old, 7-year-old, 8-year-old to get their work done on top of all this other craziness and mental health hell. Ms. Sparkles?
I want to talk about something happy.
You're a delight.
That's right, I am. I'm a damn delight. You're welcome. We've been away from each other, and my children are insane. Every time I give them, like, a task, they've been really excited. So I will say this. The one positive, I guess, of this time, it is making a lot of us be more creative as educators and figure out how we can get kind of the same feel of what we do through different means. So we've actually started a task. And if there's any other theater teachers out there, feel free to steal this idea. I've put a task forward to my advanced actors where we're setting up. So I'm finding out what elementaries and middle schools they all went to. I'm going to have them record like a favorite elementary memory and a favorite middle school memory. And we're going to make videos for each school in our feeder pattern. And we're going to send those off to the principals to share with their staff. Because we did a lip sync video. So all the high schools in my district challenged each other to a lip sync. And we were last. And we did Call Me Maybe. And so I sent it out to all the staff. And they were really responsive to how fun it was. If you're a teacher who can really push some fun and positivity out there, I really encourage you to do so. So for me, a lot of the things I think I'm going to be doing with my advanced students is going to be about pushing some positive energy out to everybody, because it's tough, like sitting at home, it's tough working with my fiance, it is all hard. So I'm really excited to do something that's going to make people happy.
My Flipgrid icebreaker this week was they had to tell me their favorite thing that they've done in the last 2 weeks, and they had to name a plant that's in my office. Now, the thing is, I have this planter, like it's a little hippie thing, like a hemp rope that you can only see the bottom of like the plant, what do you call it, the planter in the video, because it hangs from the ceiling. The plant's been dead for about 4 years. I got it like long before I was divorced. And when I got divorced, I just didn't water it. And so it's this kind of like, I don't know what you call it, fossilized fern that's just like brown and there's no wind in there. So nothing's going to make it fall. But I was like, okay, name the plant. So I've gotten all these great names, but I just realized at some point the kids are going to want to see this plant. And I have to get a plant, but I don't really want to go to Home Depot or Lowe's or anything like that because, you know, I don't know. I kind of painted myself into a corner. And now, another edition of Just the Tip.
Just the tip.
What?
Just the tip.
What?
Just the tip.
All right, our tip is to stay the fuck home, wash your motherfucking hands, and if you want to wear a mask, do it. It's not going to do much, but do it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink. I'd like to thank all of my companions today. Miss Rosie Rose, thanks for being here today.
Always here to say fuck.
Miss Sparkles, you are a delight.
A polite damn delight. That's right.
Fuck yeah. And Turd Ferguson, it was great to have you back.
Great to be here to talk shit.
And Miss Bunny O'Hare, it was wonderful to hear from you.
Oh, I wish I could see y'all, but it's good to hear from y'all too.
Awesome. Well, everyone stay safe, have a drink, wash your hands, and cheers!
Cheers!
Cheers! Cheers.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday, and if you'd like to hear more, you can go to our Patreon, Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast at Patreon. You can get lost episodes and bonus features and some pretty cool swag, all with the Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast logo on it. If you can, take the time to tell one person about something you heard on Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I'd like to thank my guests, Rosie Rose, Bunny O'Hare, Miss Sparkles, and Turd Ferguson, and a big hug and kiss to the lovely Priscilla who's by my side while I'm doing all of this. If you have something you'd like to share with us, you can tag us on Instagram or Facebook or go to our website, teacherneedsadrinkpodcast.com. Please follow, leave a review, and that's about it. Stay healthy, my friends. Stay inside. That was episode 28. Goodbye.
I need penis enlargement.
Stay the fuck home.
You made Bunny curse.
I just made our producer Zola Zanzibar probably black out, but that's how I feel about this. Like, I am emphatic enough about this point to use a curse word at this time. Like, stay the fuck home. There are people's lives on the line, and if you are the reason that somebody I know and love gets sick with this or dies from this, I will find you much faster than the cops will be able to find your body. Stay home.